Well, GWA, we had so much fun talking about writing and creating and, you know, recording for GWA in general that there was no way we could fit it all into one recording. So we decided to break it into two recordings. So I'm here with
Sugar and Spite 1440.
And again, I'm not so much vanilla. And we are going to do the last half of the questions today. So enjoy! Do you find it easy or difficult to get into the mindset of a character different from yourself?
If it were 4 or 5 years ago, I would say that it was difficult. But now, it's a lot easier. Again, going back to that practicing over and over again, mm-hmm. It's something that's gotten much easier for me. I do a little bit of acting.
Mm-hmm.
So I do lots of cold reads, table reads, auditions, that kind of thing. And I am just so used to taking classes for like that in particular that it's just like it becomes second nature to jump into a character that could be totally different from yourself. Because I've taken acting classes that specialize in like cold reading or scene work in particular, and where you're just going to get thrown into something and you have to do it like right then. You get 5 minutes to read this 2 or 3 page little scene. And so it makes it a lot easier. There's definitely tools as a writer. There's all sorts of like interview questions. And I know that my writing instructor often will have us write these crazy long backstories for our characters. Mm-hmm. The screenplay that I was talking about earlier, as a matter of fact, the one I was working on earlier today, I have probably 20 or 25 pages worth of backstory on just, like, the main character. And then each character, I have something, even the less used secondary characters, I have, like, a page or two on. And that's, you know, you made the comment about me knowing my characters inside and out. And that's because, you know, he would make us do these exercises of like, well, what was their best day? What was their worst day? Who's the most influencing person in their life? Do they have a scar? And if so, what's the story behind them getting that scar? And like, he has us do like all these writing exercises whenever we're doing our development work or character development work on screenplays. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of got in the habit of doing that. So that combined with doing, like actual acting scene work really, really has just made it so much easier, but it wasn't easy to get there. I've been doing serious like film and TV stuff for like 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I've sort of got like 3 screenplays. I've been doing that for like 4 years now. So it's not something that just came overnight. It does take work. It takes lots and lots of writing and working and doing.
Wow. That's really cool. Now you've got my mind going in all kinds of different directions, like you usually do, Sugar.
I'm sorry. I like being distraction, though.
Yeah, you look so sweet. do you have...
Sorry, but I'm not really sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, I have a friend who says that she... That the little devil horns hold up her halo.
Yep, that's about right.
Do you have a friend proofread or beta your writing before you record or post a script offer?
I would have to say not for particularly the purposes of proofreading a script to post,
mm-hmm.
but... considering that all of the posts that I have posted that are actual stories, you and TYO have read. Mm-hmm. And like I said in like a previous questionnaire, that's actually what got me on here was peer pressure from you guys.
Sorry, not sorry.
I guess the answer would have to be yes, because you guys read them first and are like, why aren't you posting these?
Mm-hmm.
But, as far as, like, the new stuff that I have, I wouldn't say proofread my stuff, But I did share things that ended up leading me to post on TWA. But I wouldn't say I wrote things and then, like, had anybody proofread them.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Do you, I know you've sent me things before you've posted them, but do you,
yeah,
consider it proofreading, or?
Well, I mean, you know, it's good to hear, like, when you send something privately to somebody before you actually post it, it's good to hear, oh, wait, you are actually not nutso. This is legitimately postable material. Yeah, I don't really do the proofreading thing before. Well, okay, so here's the other thing. I don't really do script offers all that often. Actually, I don't think I've ever done a script offer. I have a couple of things brewing that are, like, you know, 5 or 6 stories down the road that are, you know, like, I'm thinking of a specific person's voice when I'm writing this piece, or somebody who is completely different from myself, but, you know, I actually know that woman, I'm gonna have her read it. I have a couple of things like that that are friends of mine that I might see if they would like to read something for me. And then, of course, I would have them read it first. But, you know, just kind of the general public script offers. I don't really do the kinds of stories that are general public scripts. Like, probably the best one I've ever heard was That Mouse by Not in Control. I heard that story performed by, I think, everybody that did it. And it was awesome across the board. Like, I think that everybody pretty much nailed it in their own total unique ways. And I can't see myself being able to do that. I think it's so cool that he was able to, but... ooh. So, no, I don't really have people proofread. I do occasionally share things that are privately that aren't for public consumption yet. And I know I've sent you a couple of those things, too. Oh, goodness.
Do you tend to favor writing for one gender or writing one genre? Would you like to branch out, or are you comfortable where you are?
I'm feeling very repetitive tonight, aren't I? So far, I've written exclusively for women. I would really love to write for a man, but that's going to take some doing. And I may pick your brain after this is over and see if I can maybe get that list of questions. Because okay. That's an awesome idea. I would like to branch out and try something different, but I'm just not there at the moment because I'm pulled in a lot of different directions. As far as the genre, I do tend to write either, like, I'm finding that on GWA, I'm very, very vanilla in comparison with what else is out there.
I know. I think I'm being so bad, and then I go to post things, and I'm like, oh, no, not anywhere close.
So, I mean, I don't mind pushing the envelope a little bit, but I don't know. It's usually stuff that still turns me on. I kind of stick in that arena a little bit. How about you?
I favor writing for women just because that's obviously, you know, what I identify most with and what I'm able to understand and empathize with. I have a couple of stories that are they're third person omniscient, where I have a male character and I'm in his head or using his voice. Mm-hmm. As well as a female character. The time period, the period piece that I'm working on is strictly male protagonist.
Mm.
There's actually 3 guys that are in the main part of the story, with the main character being a male, and it is an experiment for me in that sense. It's the most attention I've ever given to a male character, and it's the first time I've ever really had a male character that was a main, like, the main voice. So it's a bit of an experimentation for me. I stick to one genre of, like, erotica, but as far as subgenres within erotica, I like to play around a little bit. I've done Pirates in the Atlantic. This other time period piece. Yeah, that's a good one. I've done other time period pieces, like this one that's English countryside. I've done modern stuff that takes place in New York City. The Accountant takes place in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done anything like sci-fi or particularly like horror or anything, but I've tried to play around mostly with setting.
Mm-hmm.
And because I like working with like vernacular accents, ways of speaking. That's what interests me, is like how we communicate. Mm-hmm. So that's what's interesting to me, is like I said, somebody that's, you know, a 17th century pirate versus a Manhattan accountant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I do a lot of my experimentation, is trying to get inside different people's heads from different places, different backgrounds, different time periods, more so than a particular genre. Like I said, I have not really branched out into like sci-fi or horror or anything like that. I might do that one day. If I feel like I kind of get comfortable with this, that might be like the next step.
Yeah, I feel like there are some possibilities with some like futuristic sci-fi sex. I think you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one. You know, I told you about a dozen stories, mm-hmm. that are in different phases. I have one that's like a little half-page treatment that's a future set, because of science and like fertility technology and cloning technology and stuff, men have become kind of obsolete and women like rule. And
mm-hmm.
then there's like this run in with a modern woman with this like, oh my God, it's a male. What do I do? I've never seen one in real life, you know, kind of situation. So I'm interested to see how that would go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unfortunately on the back burner right now with these other projects. I just have too many things going on at one time. Too many irons in the fire.
Yeah, I know that.
But one. I don't want to. I guess I don't. I really don't know what genre, other than yes, I stick to erotica.
Mm-hmm.
But within that, there's some play, but just hasn't necessarily made it to GWA yet.
Yet.
I would like to branch out more. As I said, pretty much every story that I write is different. Like the first one that I posted was a fandom piece about a professional dame. And then there was another piece about a kind of an inexperienced klutzy woman and a slightly dominant male. And then another piece where, you know, it was an extreme, I guess, kind of dominant, submissive situation, the one about the dinner party.
So would it be fair to say that power play is always involved as well? Like, I'm thinking about the pieces that I've read of yours and that I've heard.
Yeah, there's always some element. But I think that's just, story is conflict.
Yeah.
You're writing about a conflict, how it develops and how it plays out. And it's really, really hard to write a story. I mean, I guess you could do like a situational recording about the interactions between two people that are on kind of even keel and on the same wavelength and the same plane and everything. But as far as writing a story, like writing a story,
mm-hmm.
from beginning to end, you have to have that central conflict and that climax and everything. No pun intended. But, you have to have some sort of conflict in there, and often where conflicts arise are from misunderstandings or power dynamics where someone is unhappy with the balance of power. So that's just, I think it's more of something that needs to be there necessarily than something that has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that there was that improv post that I made. It was the very short one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I miss you or something like that. Where the conflict was internal.
Mm-hmm.
It was about her reminiscing and missing her lover and feeling sad that he wasn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't a power dynamic in that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's not a story. That was just a very quick, like, 5 minutes improvised piece. So I think it depends on what you're trying to do. I think in writing, there almost has to be some sort of imbalance in order to have that conflict.
Okay. Have you ever tried writing a kink that was not your own? How do you think it turned out?
Yes. Yes, I have. Okay, we'll just go back to the first one, the teacher's pet. Again, I've never tied up a unsuspecting henchman in a dungeon and had my way with him. But
okay, but there's a difference between the kinks that you act out and the kinks that you have in your head.
Yes. I think that the kinks that I have in my head are ones that I tend to explore with Mr. Sugar. But there's certain ones that the writing acts as an exercise of exploration, a safe exploration, if you will, of, well, what do I think about this? Or, you know, what would happen if I explored this? And it doesn't necessarily ever have to play out in real life. That's why it's fantasy. But I think that's what it is. It's a safe place to play out those things that you might not feel so secure that you know what you're doing in the real life to try out.
Yeah. I have tried writing it and, you know, select all and delete 5 times. So watch this space. It's coming. I'm trying to write somebody right now that humiliates somebody else and really causes some pretty hefty bodily damage to them. And neither of those is a thing that works for me. I mean, I like to be, you know, slapped with a belt and spanked and teeth marks on my body make me happy. But there comes a point when, for me, it bleeds over into, that's too much pain and you're actually hurting me and now I'm getting kind of ragey.
Yeah.
My character doesn't have that. So I'm kind of working on that right now. So stay tuned, boys and girls, it's coming.
Oh my goodness. I totally feel you. I would consider, like, I've had people that you know, straight up ask me, you know, they're like, what are you into as far as all that? And I'm like, well, I mean, I like this, but, you know, I like that, but, and I've just come,
in moderation,
I've just come to describe myself as more like a sensation person than like a masochist person, because I don't like the idea of too much pain, but I like the idea of like a sensual spanking or like, like for instance, a little bit of like light bondage, like you know, the spreader bars that I built, like having like your arms in one and having, you know, like your feet in the other, and then like using a crop or something on you, but not particularly bruising or leaving bad marks or anything, but just sensation more than
Sugar, you're saying all kinds of things that are getting me distracted.
Once again, that's what I do best.
Sorry, not sorry.
But that's what I would consider myself, I guess.
To be more into, that makes two of us.
Yeah, to be more into sensation than straight up like sadist or masochist. Like, don't get me wrong, I get that my horns show. I get that wicked little grin when, you know, get to be in control for the evening when I'm like, this is what we're doing tonight. I have this plan and this is what we're gonna do, and like I get excited about that too, but I'm not excited about the fact that like I would be hurting somebody, but I'm excited about the fact that it's like, oh, he's gonna like this, but then I'm gonna do this that he's not gonna like, and more of like a teasing thing than hurting somebody thing.
Oh, I love that.
We're getting off topic.
Okay, that's for another conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Number 14. Do you write for anything other than GWA or anything like it, such as recordings, pillow talk, audio, etc.?
I have a couple of pieces that are up on Literotica, I think. They may have been deleted by now, I really don't know. And I have a couple of short stories that I'm kind of hanging on to in my back pocket for the right moment. But no, I don't really record anywhere else. So, well, how about you?
As far as writing goes, I do a lot of writing outside of GWA. GWA is a fairly new thing that, like I said, you guys mm-hmm. kind of pressured me into. You're like, you should join. One of us. But, mm-hmm. I've done screenplays. I've got, mm-hmm. the three that are feature length. And then I have two that are short. I actually entered, last year. I actually did 48 Hour Film Fest and I was a screenwriter and
mm-hmm.
we actually won an award for project. So that was really exciting because that was the first screenplay that I had produced. So that was really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other things where I've done like script doctoring. There was one project that I did that was a short film that I just kind of jumped on. It was one of those kind of the producers and the director and the writer and everything had this screenplay that they wanted to market. So they wanted to do this little short piece on it that was like 5 or 8 minutes long to kind of show to investors the general idea of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the people that were doing it. I was like, hey, just, you know, throw me in. I'd love to be like this, the crying woman or whatever, just to have something a little different for my reel. And the writers liked it so much that when they worked on the script again, they like added a whole character for me to do. And I was like, okay, that's really exciting.
Nice.
That makes me feel really good that the director, the writer got in touch with me. He's like, the director was so impressed that he was like, do blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
I was like, okay, that's really exciting. And I also got to work on some drafts of that. They asked, you know, they knew some other stuff that I had written and they asked me to look over it and make some suggestions. And then there was another project that the same director did the same thing. He was like, the script is terrible. Can you please look at this? And like, help me rewrite these sections. So I've done a little bit of script doctoring too. I've had some poetry published.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, just the short stories, some of which are not particularly for GWA. They're not particularly erotic or anything like that. They're just some short stories that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time I've cross-posted anything as far as audio was, I think it was Starless Skies. On one of my posts, I think it was I Miss You Post, said that it might fit on Pillow Talk, so I cross-posted it there. But other than that one, I haven't mm-hmm. posted any other of my stories or recordings on Reddit or GWA otherwise.
Do you prefer to record your writing or have someone else record it?
I've only ever recorded my writing. I've not had anybody else record my writing. So I think that shows how overprotective I am of my writing.
I was going to say, control freak comes to mind.
Yeah, like I said, some of these pieces I work on for years and they're like almost like my children. It's like, no, you can't have that. as bad as that is, it's less, you can't have that than, oh, you're probably gonna think this is dumb anyway. No, don't look at it. Don't worry about it. You know?
Yeah, I get
so
that.
So I get kind of self-conscious about it. So I don't know that there's anything I would particularly share. And plus too, since they're longer stories and not really short scripts and I have like so mm-hmm. much time invested in them, I just don't think I'm prolific enough to write like a, you know, mm-hmm. to write enough to really offer a lot of stuff because, like I said, I just have less than a dozen completed short stories that are erotic stories and I recorded about half of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't write enough of strictly erotica to really offer it to anybody else. And like I said, I just kind of do it when I am in the mood, have the house to myself, I sit down, take a couple hours to
mm-hmm.
record it out and edit it and everything.
Yeah, I totally get that you were talking about being kind of protective of your stuff. and mostly in a, you're going to think it's dumb, so I'm not going to share it and just do it myself kind of thing. That's definitely something that I understand. I've never had anybody else read, I don't know, my stuff other than me. I'm not saying that I wouldn't necessarily, but usually I have a specific voice in mind, and if it's my own, then it's my own. If it's somebody else, then I would probably approach that person and see if they'd be okay with me writing for them, or, I don't know, I'm so self-conscious about my writing that I sort of don't want to make somebody else actually get into it until I've had a chance to really form it in my own mind, I guess. Oh, that makes no sense.
Oh, it makes total sense. I mean, like I said, the first thing that pops to your mind is, oh god, what are people going to think?
Yep.
You know, when you finish something and like, what are people going to think about me? What are people going to think about this? And
yeah.
I totally get that. It's very easy to be insecure because when you're a writer, that's you on the page. You might be writing another perspective or a different gender or, you know, a character that's not particularly like you, but you use your relationship with the world. You use your viewpoint, the experiences of your life, your memories, your senses, and how you think champagne tastes or what you, you know, what a songbird sounds like to you. You use that very, I guess, intangible, just soaking in of everything
your
in the world
filter.
That forms your perspective to write something.
Yeah.
And it's you on the page. And it's very personal thing.
Well, I mean, the other thing too is the stuff that I write and also the stuff that you write, at least for GWA, is not like the kind of, it's not a script, you know, it's a story. So other people might not see the inflections the same way or, you know, you don't, I mean, you're right. You don't experience the world the same way. Everybody's filter is a little bit different. Which is a fantastic thing, but it also makes it kind of awkward to give to somebody else. I don't know. I'm blushing. Let's move on.
Okay. Well, then number 16. For those who've offered scripts, how did you feel the first time your writing was recorded by someone? Have you... Well, let's change it since you said you hadn't offered scripts. Let's change it to, how did you feel the first time your request was recorded by someone?
Oh. All kinds of awesome. The first time my request was recorded by somebody else was a long, long time ago. And it was like, it happened because he and I kind of became friends. So, like, he got to know me a little bit. And it was like, oh my word, all of Vanilla's kinks distilled down to this one story. It was awesome. Yeah, it was good. It was a lot more potent than I expected it to be honest. Same question for you.
I remembered blushing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, I remember I was like, oh my god. This is it. And I was like, I remember I was like grinning from ear to ear. My face was hot. I know I was blushing.
Yep.
And I was like, that sounded awesome. Like I PM'd him back. I was like, that sounded so awesome. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's a good feeling because it's like, that was, I feel most fulfilled when I can contribute to like a collaborative project.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people in the industry that I work in get really frustrated by things, but it's like I thrive on it because I love the idea that of people coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And literally something that was an idea in someone's head possibly years and years ago is going to be made into a piece of art that could potentially be around for generations that tons of people are possibly going to see and that it's going to affect people in a certain way. And so the idea of like contributing to something that other people are going to get to hear, it's such a great feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great feeling. And I think that's, people from GWA are from all over the world. So the idea that
mm-hmm.
you're connecting people and connecting to people and making that distance a little smaller through a common interest. It's just, it's awe-inspiring to me. It really is. It's awe-inspiring to me.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very good way of putting that, actually. Would you say that you're proud of your writing? Do you feel like you have talent? Please feel free to praise yourself. I'm all about self-love and a hint of vanity. Cute.
Okay, this is the question I actually dreaded most because I am so, like, hard on myself. I think most people, particularly creative types, are their own worst enemies and their hardest critics.
Mm-hmm.
And especially as women, we're often taught to, like, deflect compliments with, like, oh, this little thing, but you know, we're not really taught to do a whole lot of self-praising, so it's hard. But I would have to say that more than being proud of my writing, there are pieces of my writing that I'm proud of.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
When you say pieces of your writing, do you mean specific stories or do you mean elements of that are common to your writing?
Maybe a little both. Definitely okay. Specific stories, but there's definitely stories that I may not particularly like the story, but I'm like, this idea was really good, or this concept was really good, or this, you know, the way this scene played out was really intriguing. So I think more there are particular pieces or things about my writing that I'm particularly proud of.
So what things about your writing then?
Just being able to nail a voice that is so different and uncommon to me. I keep going back to the pirate story, which I'm sure everybody, between this question, this interview and the last interview, everybody's probably like, already, enough already. Like, where's the effing pirate story already?
Oh, it hasn't been posted yet?
No, it hasn't been posted yet.
Tisk, tisk, sugar.
One day, maybe one day. There's like so many things in queue ahead of it, but maybe one day.
Yeah.
It will definitely happen. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
Just a matter of when. But it's definitely going to happen. Anyway, that one was particularly exciting for me because it was the first one that I had ever done that was not just like every day in the present, straight from a like woman's point of view. It was the first time really that I had tried to write from a male perspective. It was the first time I had written in like a time period language, and I also, the main character is the protagonist, she's French, so I had to do a little bit of research, and I threw in some French phrases here and there. And that's mainly the biggest reason why I have not honestly posted it yet, is because I'm still trying to be like, do I try to do a really horrible French accent? do I just make everyone suffer through the French accent that is not going to be anywhere near French? Aww. It's probably going to come out something very much not French. Or do I read it, you know, straight up in my accent and let everyone use their imaginations? I haven't decided yet. So that's my probably biggest hurdle is trying to decide what I want to do with it exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Do I feel like I have talent? Again, about 4 years ago, before I really started like writing, I would have probably been like, not really. I can put words on a page and they can make sense, but not really. But now that I've had training and I've worked with like a screenplay instructor for a couple of years, and I've, like I said, I had that screenplay produced for 48 Hour and we won awards for it and stuff like that, I feel a lot better about my ability. I definitely think that I have a very long way to go. I definitely don't think I'm anywhere near professional or ready to write a screenplay for a, you know, $400 million box office tentpole or anything. But I definitely think there's something there that if I continue to work at it, will just blossom into something really awesome one day. So at least that's what I keep telling myself.
Well, for what it's worth. I think that you have talent. So there.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, and I know, like, you don't even have to answer this one. I know that you do.
Well, thank you.
I know that you do. Man. I have to say.
Once again.
Nobody quite gets hate sex like you do. I still, like, that's my favorite thing I think you've done in a very long time. I still keep. I've actually gone back to that recording and played just kind of that portion.
Oh, that makes me so happy. thank
like
you.
Being down and dirty in a dirty bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that bathroom actually existed, and I may have been drawing on a fantasy about somebody I went to college with for that. So yeah.
Oh goodness.
But you know, no, I'm not actually particularly proud of my writing. It's like, I think that there are things that I can do really well. Characters is not one of them. But I think that I can, like, describe a scene really well. You know, like, make you feel how gross that bathroom was and how you really just don't want to touch anything and yet you really need to be fucked against the wall in it. You know, I think I'm okay at that part. I think I'm pretty decent at painting a picture. But, again, motivations, getting into characters that I don't know, that shit scares the crap out of me.
And that's just practice. That's just practice.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. And that's something I'm working on. I have a few, sort of in real life projects that are sort of taking precedence the last year or so. So when I write, it's purely just for the joy of writing lately. I don't know. I'm working on it. But I'm having fun, and that's what counts. So, yes, from that angle, I am proud of my writing, because I think that taking time out to do something that is just for the fun of it, that's not going to earn you any money, whatever that thing is, even if you do it horribly, is a thing worth being proud of. You know?
Oh, definitely. You can definitely tell a difference between someone who's writing because it's an assignment or because they have to do it, and someone that's doing something because they love it. And that comes across in so many different art forms, not just writing, but it definitely comes across when it's,
oh yeah,
like you said, like a joy of writing versus, oh, I have to do this,
mm-hmm,
kind of situation.
And I think that allowing yourself the time and freedom when you have such a busy, overpacked life, like we all do, you know, allowing yourself that time to just explore something that's totally out of left field is a thing worth being proud of. So the writing, not so much, but the effort behind making time for the writing, most definitely.
Well, think about, you created something. Like, there's times when I get frustrated, yeah, about stuff, about a project's not coming along as fast as I want it to, or I'm not particularly happy about something in the project. And it's like, but you did it. How many, you know, like you said, mm-hmm, how many people,
yes, most definitely,
don't make that time for it, or think they can't do it and never try to do it. But even if you think it's the worst, mm-hmm, thing ever, if you sit down and write this thing that you want to write, and you start it and you write it and you finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you finish it, you're ahead of, you know, 75% of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely.
I think that's where the hardest thing is actually, like, finishing it. Because when you finish it, you're committed to it. Like, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
This piece can't, you know, this piece is done, and it's a part of you, and it's something that you created, you know?
Mm-hmm. So then what about the concept that, in most art forms, it's never done? Like, you at a point you have to just decide to stop doing it, or else you'll rework it until death. Like, do you ever feel like it's actually complete?
It's a good question. I've heard that concept before about it's never done. It just has to be good enough that you're okay with letting it go.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that at that point, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of like the way I said I never really believe in writer's block, because it's like, if you're stuck on this, then that means you don't know your character well enough. You don't know what they're going to do or where they're going to go next. And you need to go back to the beginning, look at your character, look at what motivates them, the things that they've gone through. And then from there on, you should be able to go back through and you'll usually find something where something didn't make sense or you just kind of like lightly skipped over and it's impacting things later on down the road. And I think that in the same way, yes, I get that point and I've heard that saying before, but at the same time, it's like, you look at like, for instance, the Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa is a picture and it's done. Could Da Vinci have spent years and years and years adding little highlights here, adding another little tree in the background? Probably. He could just as easily have gotten a bunch of black paint and thrown over it and like destroyed it as well. But that doesn't make it any better. Mm-hmm. I think there's a point, like you said, where it's done and anything more that you do to it is detrimental and takes away from it. And I think that you have to get to that point where you can realize when something needs to be rewritten and worked on, and when you may not be perfectly happy with it and it may not be perfect, but if you keep messing with it, it's not going to get any better.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. And I think you could keep working on it, but not necessarily should be working on it. So I think at that point it's done. Like as a piece, it's done because it can't get any better.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any advice?
Oh, go ahead.
It's even. It's mine. It's even numbered. It's mine.
You're right.
Any advice that you would like to share with GWA?
Oh, Lord. I am not in a position to give advice to anybody on anything.
But you've been posting for a long while. You've been posting since, what, last fall?
September,
nearly a year?
Almost a year.
So there's got to be something that you know, that someone wise and experienced can share, their troubles or something they wish they knew when, or...
I would say, I mean, I know people that have tried to stick to a schedule, you know, posting so many times per month or posting every third or every fourth day or something like that. For me, I personally have gained the most out of this whole GWA experience by, you know, keeping up on other people's posts and commenting regularly and actively engaging in the community, but only posting when I feel inspired to post. You know, if you try and record every other day, at some point it becomes a chore, right?
Yeah, I could see that.
And when it becomes a chore, it's not good for you. It's not good for me. I mean, it's kind of like that moment when it's 4 o'clock in the morning and you really, really just don't want to have sex, but he needs to get off. And you're like, okay, honey, I'll do it for you. And then it's no good for anybody. So if you're not feeling it, just don't do it. Come back to it when you are feeling it, because it'll be much better then.
Well, I think that harkens back to what we were talking about, the difference between sitting down and doing something for the joy of it versus doing it because you have to or because it's an assignment. You're always going to be able to tell that energy mm-hmm. difference between somebody that wants to be there and somebody that's just doing it because they have to or they're filling a quota. I definitely kind of ran into that because I had the stories already done. I would try to post that once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, it's like, it's just so disheartening because you're trying to learn how to use, you know, the editing software, and you're trying to figure out all this stuff. And so there's a little bit of a learning curve, the first one or two, and watch a few YouTube videos or whatever, but there's still a little bit of a learning curve. And then it takes you, you know, an hour to record
mm-hmm.
sometimes by the time you re-record and fix things and, you know, oh, there's a car noise here, so let me go back and redo that line or whatever. And then the actual editing of it can sometimes take a while because I know, like, I like to put music in mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably spend a good hour just trying to find the right music to put in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a labor of love, but it's a lot of work. And then
accurate.
trying to do that, like, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours worth of editing work, you know, every single week, it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I mean,
it can be a bit overwhelming.
I definitely salute those that are able to, but I found that I had a lot more fun once I just kind of recorded at my own pace.
Me too. I mean, like I said, I tried to do it every week, and I almost started, like, kind of dreading it. And I was like, it's been so many days and I haven't posted yet. You know, I need to post soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of let that go, kind of because I had to, because I was working on a film, and, like, I was, you know, working for 3 weeks. I was gone, and I, like, even my husband was like, I feel like I never see you, because I'd literally just, like, come home to get a shower and go to bed and walk out the door, you know. That kind of made me take a break a bit and kind of get away from that whole you have to post every so often. And I totally agree with you. I felt so much better just kind of doing it when I was in the mood to do it, when I felt like doing it. And I think it came across a lot more too. I feel like I just feel so much better about my projects like that. Those later projects like that. And that's when I started improvising too, is when I had the time like that.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any advice that you'd like to share?
Just what I said earlier of, you know, it's, if you're going to, you know, kind of just post getting off, or you're just going to kind of improvise, you know, that's one thing, but especially if you're going to try to write characters that are different than yourself, or you're going to try to write for someone specifically that's, you know, totally different from you, or that's not you or your voice. You've got to practice. You've got to write. You've got to read. It's not something that you can just do whenever and expect it to be good. Like, you have to constantly, like I said, be reading and learning different perspectives and different voices, or you have to be constantly writing something. Okay, that doesn't sound great. How can I rewrite that to make it sound better?
Mm-hmm.
Make it sound a lot cleaner, a lot smoother, a lot more intense. How could I get this, you know, emotion across more intensely? Like, you just keep doing it. Just sit down and do it. Butt in chair. I know that's a lot of advice that I'll often read in, like, screenwriting books, is butt in chair.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. Butt in chair. If you can master that, you're pretty good at the discipline of writing pretty consistently and getting it done. Like, don't give up. It sucks. Sometimes it's hard. If you are stuck, move on to something else. I keep an idea jar on my desk, actually.
Huh.
I have a little mason jar where if I think of something, you know, just like a little sentence or like a particularly interesting character, but I don't really know what story I want to put them in, but I'm like, this person would be really cool. I have my little post-it notes, and I'll write it down on a post-it, fold it up, and drop it in my jar. So if ever I am stuck on something, and if I don't have anything else to work on, I can grab something out of there and just kind of play with it until I'm ready to go back to the other.
Huh.
And then, yeah, it's always writing. If you're stuck on something, move on to something else, but always, always, always writing.
Hmm. Very cool. Well, this has been a ridiculous amount of fun, and
yes, it has.
My goodness.
Ridiculously long.
So, thank you for joining me, and
Sugar and Spice.
I don't know, this writer's questionnaire was a lot of fun. I'd love to hear some more from some other people,
I
know. Too.
I always like, I really like when No Name and Alame do, like, the behind the audio files. Like, I really think people are interesting, so I really like hearing the interviews and the questionnaires and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, me too. Okay, we have to start over because that's going to be a bitch to try and sync.